Need an answer?
Cough Kiss Lave, Friday the 12th of December, in a change to our advertised broadcast, Rabbi Ilan Halberstadt, Yosef the Dreamer.
Well, with Siyata Deshmaya, I wasn't supposed to be here, but obviously I was supposed to be here. So, delighted to be with you here this morning to speak about Parshas Vayeshev, and everybody loves Parshas Vayeshev, of course. Have any favourites when it comes to Sedges, because they're all our favourites, but it's a little bit of a soft spot perhaps, huh?
So the speakers, all our favourites,
some more favourite than others. So in Parshas Vayeshev, you know, we find an interesting phenomena nowadays with Balei Tshuva, people who become more religious. They often have a dilemma when they find that they have certain talents, and they express them in a particular way when they weren't very religious, and then when they become frum, it becomes a difficulty. What do you do with those old talents? How do you use them in this new environment? But you know what? We don't have to look so far as somebody's a Baal Tshuva. Everybody has gifts. Everybody has koichos. And you'll often find that your greatest talent, that which you excel in, is also the area of nisayon, of test. For example, I'll give an example. Somebody might find he's an excellent speaker, let's say. He can speak and he can inspire other people. He's got a koach hadibur, the gift of the gab, as they say. At the same time, that very gift, that very koach, will often be his downfall. Because one incorrect comment puts somebody down, embarrass somebody, can hurt somebody. With that same koach hadibur, you can make worlds, you can destroy worlds. Right, so let's say somebody's an extrovert. He's very outgoing, he welcomes people in, and he's always happy to say Shalom Aleichem to anybody, so that's a wonderful gift. But sometimes it can be a bit too much. The guy's in your face and a bit too much, a bit difficult. So the greatest gift is often one's challenge. So when we fail in these areas, we think to ourselves, oh, forget it, I don't know why I'm an extrovert, I might as well just be an introvert. I'll be like that guy, I'll sit in the corner, and then I won't offend anybody. Okay, I won't say Shalom Aleichem, but I won't offend anybody either. I won't be in their face, or I won't speak, because then if I speak, I might put my foot in it, so I won't bother. That's obviously the incorrect approach. The right hashkofa is that you have to know how to kasha, how to channel and use your gifts. And I want to use that as an introduction to analyze and see Yosef HaTzadik. This parasha is just mind-blowing. The whole parasha is just mind-blowing. The brothers, how could they, you know, we read the stories obviously year in, year out, but the brothers, the great, great tzaddikim, how could they do this to their brother Yosef? What is going on here? And that's from their point of view. But from Yosef's point of view, I want to show you, perhaps we can just see the godless of Yosef. If all we come out today is the godless of Yosef, we realize just pshuto kamashmoy, even without fancy divrei Torah, you'll see Yosef HaTzadik, the godless of Yosef is just remarkable. So let's start with the psukim themselves. We know Ein Todos Yaakov Yosef. Yaakov and Yosef are parallel. There's a similarity between them. Yaakov, the Medrash brings down. Yaakov had a brother that hated him, Esav. Yosef, his brothers hated him. Yaakov had to run away. Yosef also was in a different country, was in a foreign place, etc. And Yosef is described in the beginning of the Sedra, V'hu Na'ar es b'nei Bilav es b'nei Zilpa. He's a Na'ar. So what does Rashi say about Na'ar? Shu'aisa ma'isin na'arus. He's doing things that are, we would call, foolish. Mesakim b'saroi, memashbish be'enov, he's fixing his hair, he's doing his eyes, kidei shi'a nira yofi, should look beautiful. Now, again, this is Rashi, I'm speaking with... You have somebody great like Yosef HaTzadik. On his level, something's happening here that he's getting involved in what we call gashmius. He's looking after his beautiful appearance. The Torah tells us later on that Yosef was a beautiful person. In fact, the only person, the only male in the whole Torah that is described as beautiful. The only one is Yosef. There's two in Tanakh, there's Yosef and Avshalom. But in Torah-wise, Yofei Torah, Yofei Maret, like his mother also comes from Morocco, was a beautiful person. And Yosef was beautiful. Why do we need to know that Yosef was beautiful? We'll get there. But Yosef is now sucked into these looks, as it were. He's playing with his hair, Kadesh and Nereyofa. And the brothers see this. And the brothers see that here is a Yosef. and they're very worried about their brother. Can you imagine? They're worried about their brother. They see here somebody who's not, in their eyes, living up to what the Shiftei Kol is supposed to be. He's a nut arab, as it were. And then, to make matters worse, suddenly, Yaakov Avinu favours Yosef. Yisrael Ahavas Yosef Mikol Bonov. Kivens Kunim Heloi. He learns with him. And he's the one that gives him the Ksodas Pasim. And we look at the parasha and say, what's Yaakov Avinu doing? What's Yaakov doing? Yosef, furthermore, Yosef comes along, and Yosef suddenly starts talking about his dreams. Vayachalim Yosef Chalayim. He has a dream, and all these parashas are now very much dream related. He has a dream, and he tells it to his brothers in detail. And of course, the brothers think to themselves, what's going on here? If you add one and one up together, you see here, what do they have? They have here a Yosef, who's a na'ar, who's someone who's playing with his hair. He doesn't seem to be on the spiritual caliber that we would expect in their eyes. And he's now speaking about dreams of grandeur. Oh, if everybody's going to come bow down to me, I'm going to rule over you, you're going to bow down to me. That's dangerous. You've got a Yosef, you've got somebody here with immense power. And they were very well aware, the other brothers, that each one of the Shavuotim were powerful. And Yosef, with the Bechor of Rochel, is speaking like this. He's na'ar on the one hand, he's doing this stuff which is, seems to be inappropriate for his level of a Shiftei Kol. And yet, he's coming over and telling us he's going to be the king over us. We're in trouble. The brothers said we're in trouble. And they cast their minds back to not so long ago, where we had other brothers. You know, Bereishis is a story of brothers. You have Cain and Hevel, and one brother is supposed to be the Oved Adomo. And one is the Re'at Zayin. Interesting, Re'at Zayin, we find that spiritual people were shepherds. Not going into that now, but you notice, right? Yaakov Avinu has to look after the sheep for so many years. Moshe Rabbeinu has to look after the sheep. He's called in the Lashon Hazaya. Raya Mehemna, the faithful Raya, the shepherd. There's obviously something spiritual in being Zayin Kadoshim. Klal Yisrael are called the holy flock. David HaMelech. Yep, we find that. So Cain is supposed to be Hevel is the Re'at Zayin. And Cain is the Oved Adomo, involved in the Adomo. There were two brothers. One is supposed to be the spiritual brother. He's the one who, as it were, pursues that which is Ruchni. And then the brother who's taken on the challenge of Olam Hazeh, the difficulties that it represents. That which wants to pull a person down, and he has to rise above it. But Cain and Hevel doesn't work out, and Cain ends up having... He kills his brother. Next, who's next? Yaakov and Esav. Another partnership. You think Esav was supposed to be a Rasha? Definitely not. Nobody's supposed to be in Russia. Aye, from in utero, he's already kicking, he wants to get out to the base of Avodah Zarah. Yeah, Beseder, he had tendencies towards those things, and that was his Avodah. His Avodah was to be able to overcome those things, and thereby rise to the challenge and reveal a Kedesh Hashem in the world. And therefore, Esav is called the Ish Sodeh, the man of the field. Yaakov Yeshiva Holim, spiritual, Torah, and Esav is supposed to be what we'd call mitzvahs. Maisius, getting involved in this world. Ish Sodeh. But of course it doesn't work out with Esav either. He ends up sitting in the Bechira. Yaakov now takes on a dual function. Let's go to the next generation. The brothers...
Yishmol.
There's a Yishmol as well, but Yishmol is a slightly different fashion. Now when we come to Yosef, the brothers look around and they're well aware of their history, of what's happened. And they know that there's this duality. Some brothers will have this Avodah, some will have this Avodah. And Yosef, they now see he's beautiful, which already means he's Olam Hazedik. He's got this as his challenge. So he looks like this. They look at him as maybe this guy is the Esav of our generation. In other words, his Avodah is supposed to be Ma'ale the Ruchni, to be Ma'ale the Gashmi, to elevate that which is physical. Not to be sucked in by his looks, but it looks like he's not doing a good job. Because who's now? He's playing with his hair. And not only is he playing with his hair, he comes to us with dreams. He's going to rule over us. So the brothers think, we're going to do now the biggest mitzvah we could possibly do. We're going to get rid of Esav before he becomes an Esav proper. Let's get rid of him now before he destroys all of us. This is dangerous. We'll take a Yosef. He's a na'ar. He's not living up to what he's supposed to be. And now he's speaking about chalomus. Chalomus, that's already too much. Chalomus, that's already now, I'm going to rule over you. And they decide, we've got to get rid of him. Let's kill him. And it's the chalomus that get Yosef into trouble. And the brothers think they're doing a mitzvah. Of course, as we go through, we realize, they realize the mistake that they made. But not straight away. It's all about reading the Chumash. No, why didn't the brothers realize straight away? Come on, you know. Obviously, this is all happening. As we read the parshas, we're like, come on, now you're going to guess. Surely, come on. No. Because originally they felt they were doing the right thing. But where does it all happen? In the world of chalomus. And this is exactly the lashon of the pasuk. Because Yosef is sent to look after, to go after his brothers. And he arrives. And as he arrives, what do they call him? They say, Vayonu ish al achiv, hinei bala chalomus al azeba. Here's the bala chalomus. Here he is. Va'ata nuchu v'na'al geu. Let's go and kill him. Nashkichei ba'achad abarus. The Palachalimus. So Yosef, what happens is we know. Yosef, he's sold. They want to kill him. He's not killed. He's not killed. He's sold down to Egypt. For one moment, if we would just think, poshup shat of the psukim, can you imagine being a Yosef at that point in time? You know, we speak about nowadays of kids who go off the derech and have a difficulty struggling with their Yiddishkeit. We can normally trace it back to some sort of difficult event. The Rebbe was mean to them. Their family was, it didn't work. It's something there. There was a negative event that often caused this whole snowballing effect, a downward cycle. If anybody had the right, as it were, to walk away from Yiddishkeit, as it were, in those days, was Yosef. Think about it. Here's Yosef. Is rejected by his entire family. Posh pshat. No fancy longness. Posh pshat. Just think about it for a second. Here we have Yosef, who has been rejected by his family. For all he knows, they've told Yaakov also that he's a low life, he's a terrible, we have to get rid of him. Well, who knows what they say? He doesn't even know what. And we know the end of the story, it all ends well, but not for Yosef. As far as he knows, he's never going to see his family ever again. His father he's never going to see ever again. His family's never going to see ever again. They don't even want to see him ever again. They don't want to see him. They've rejected him in Lagamre. He's a reject. Now, where does he find himself? He finds himself, what, a Mokum Tahara? No. He finds himself in Mitzrayim. Chabad weren't even in Mitzrayim then. Right? He's in Mitzrayim. There's nobody there. There's not a soul to be found. Nothing. There's nothing there. Not just nothing. Paruv. Maybe he'll just chill out. Not Paruv. Tuma, in the higher sense of the word. He's surrounded by everything negative. Everything Tommy. Now, if anybody at that point had the rights to say goodbye, goodbye to the Rebbeinu Shalom, you would have said, I understand where Yosef's coming from. But what happens to Yosef? Far from it. Far from it. He doesn't just say, you know what, maybe these dreams have got me into trouble. Maybe I should just forget these dreams. You know, enough of them. I should just, you know, just be a regular guy. No, that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us. If a person has a kayach, if a person has a talent, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him that talent. Ah, you got you into trouble. Okay, you don't throw it out. As they say, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. You don't say, oh, forget the dreams. No, Yosef, these dreams to Yosef were a nevuah. And they were a nevuah. And they kept him going. And the Bala Chalomis, as he's nicknamed in the negative, pulls through in the end as the real Bala Chalomis. And how does he use this koach? Well, let's see what he does. Just to think about Pashem Shai, I keep repeating, because it's just mind-blowing. Here you have Yosef, and now he finds himself as an Ishmatzliach. He comes down to Mitzrayim, and of course he's an Ishmatzliach, because he's a man of Olam Hazeh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him the gift to be prosperous in Olam Hazeh. He's good-looking, he has the looks, he has the talent, he takes over Potiphar's house, Ishmatzliach. And of course we know, as the Pasuk tells us, Yosef, Yefeito, Efrei Mareh, there was a little bit of a drop there, that he was some sort of back with the Yefeito, Efrei Mareh, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends him the test with Eshes Potiphar. And he, of course, as we know, the Shalsheles, Vayimayin, and he refuses. She makes advances to him every day, he refuses. And he refuses to do this. And then we know one fine day, one specific day, Chazal tell us, the Gemara in Sota, Daf Lamed Vav, gives us the story details. One day, they're left there, and she makes an advance towards him, and this time Yosef is about to do the Avera. He's about to fall. And at the last minute, what happens? Everybody knows, Rashi brings it down. The last minute, you know what happens? The Mustiyuk Mishal Oviv, Nir Eloi B'Chalom. He sees an image of his father in the window. there's different opinions as to what does it mean he saw the image of his father, because we learned earlier on that Yosef and Yaakov looked alike, so maybe he saw the reflection of himself. Oh, so he looked alike, it was Yaakov, or perhaps it was a Nevuah type of thing, that he saw the image of Yaakov. But I was always bothered by this. What kind of an insight is this? We say Yosef HaTzadik, Oymed ben Issoyen, the greatest Yosef HaTzadik, because he managed to be Oymed ben Issoyen. I don't really see Oymed ben Issoyen. On the contrary, he's about to do an Aveira, last minute he gets a bolt of lightning, and goes, Baruch Hu, quickly, right, last minute desperation, Yaakov, there it is, okay, understandable, pull him out of the Aveira. Next time I'm about to do Aveira, I'd also like to have an image of Yaakov appear to me in wherever it might be, and I'll also stop. Where's the goodness all of a sudden now? The way Chazal paint the picture, it seems to be. He was about to do Aveira, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rescued him, last minute, pulled him out. He happened to see an image of Yaakov. If he didn't get this image, why did we credit him with such credit, that he was Oymed ben Issoyen, when he got this last minute save from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But I think the answer is, he didn't get it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was the one that came up with that image. It wasn't that he was about to do Aveira, and Hashem says, well, poor Yosef, let's just go save him. No. Yosef HaTzadik is the Balach HaLomos. The Balach HaLomos means to have the Koyach HaDimyon, the Koyach of imagination. The Koyach of imagination was that which drove Yosef through all those years in Mitzrayim, again, to understand, rejected by his family, never to see them ever again, in the seat of Tumah. What? Why would he not do this, Aveiro? What? And you know what he's still saying? No. How can I do this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And he thought to himself, not just a thought, what would my father say if he saw me now? I'm a Ben Yaakov. Ah, you're in Mitzrayim. Who knows, you'll never see him ever again. But I'm a Ben Yaakov. I'm a prince. What would my father say if he saw me now? And it was so real to him. What would my father say? What would Yaakov say if he saw me? And the Gemara says, you know what Yaakov would say? Yaakov would have said to him, Yosef, in the future you're going to have your name on the Choshen or Ephod. You want to take it out off that stone? And instead they're going to put Araya Zonis. That you had a relationship with the Zonis instead. To Yosef it was, what would my father say? And that image was so powerful, that Koyach HaDimyon, he was the one that conjured up that image. He was the one that thought to himself, how can I do this? What would Yaakov say? And that power, that Koyach HaDimyon, that power of Balach HaLomos, which was his strength, was the one thing that pulled him through at that point in time. That pulled him through. And that's why he was Oymed ben Issoyen. That's why we give him the credit. Because he was the one that conjured up that image. What would my father Yaakov say? That's the godless of Yosef. He's in a mokum tumah. He's rejected by his family. Everybody's doing it around him. But he's still saying, I'm a Ben Yaakov. My grandfather's Yitzchak. My great-grandfather's Avram. I can do this? I'm not doing this. The Balach HaLomos. And al derech Jewish, I want to say this in the Psukim as well. The Pasuk says, Yosef says his argument, Vayimotin, he says, I can't do this. He's given everything to me. He's entrusted me with everything. There's nobody greater in this house than me. He's not held anything back from me. Except for you, Ishta, you're his wife. How could I do this terrible thing? I would have sinned to Hashem. And our Derech Drush, you can say, he wasn't just saying there's nobody greater in this house in terms of, I'm in charge. Was Yosef HaTzadik saying to himself, I'm the godly in this house. There's nobody greater in this house than me. I understand the concept of what we call Gadlus HaAdam. He saw himself as that great Yosef HaTzadik, even when nobody around him is anywhere near anything like that. That's the Einein Godel B'Bayis Hazeh. Today happens to be the Yotzai of Rav Yitzchak Kutner. Rav Yitzchak Kutner studied, and he himself, he was in the yeshiva of Slobodka. This yeshiva of Slobodka was well known, that the message of Slobodka, of the altar of Slobodka, was Gadlus HaAdam, the greatness of man. And if we knew the greatness of man, then we would act differently. And he demanded his Talmidim to be Gedolim Not just in their learning, but in their, who they were, their personas, their derech eretz. Why? Because Gavlus Olam, that's who you are. You're an Odom. You're a prince. You're part of the Jewish people. You're Klal Yisrael. And that's why Slobodka happened to be, they had a tremendous amount of gedolim that came out of that one yeshiva. Whether it's Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rabbi Yitzchak Putna, so many that came out from there. Because of the Gavlus Olam. And that was Yosef HaTzadik. The Balach HaLaima is, but still thinking, in any God of Babayis Hazer, even in the depths and the depravity of Mitzrayim. The same Balach HaLaima that got him into trouble? No, you don't suppress. You don't say, oh, I've got a kayach, but it's getting me into trouble. Maybe I should just leave it behind. No. You use it, and you use it to your advantage. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you a kayach hadimyun, it's not just a challenge. What do I do? No. You use it to be able to use it for your father, part of your Avodas Hashem. And that's what Yosef does in the most remarkable way, fashion we could possibly imagine. The posh pshat of these psukim, just, it's unbelievable. The Ponovitcher Rav, in 1940, the Ponovitcher Rav came to Bnei Barak and he looked at a mountaintop, a hillside, and he said, I'm going to build the yeshiva here for 500 bokrim. Build the yeshiva. They laughed at him. The chief rabbi, Rabbi Herzog, came over to him and says, listen, he told him about his ideas. The Ponovitcher Rav had ideas, he wanted to raise money. So Herzog said, you're dreaming, he said. To which the Ponovitcher Rav turned around and says, yes, I'm dreaming. But this dream, I'm awake. I'm awake in this dream. And I'm not going to stop. And I'm not going to stop until I've actually fulfilled this dream. The Kachava, and so it was. Everybody laughed at him and said, in 1940, do you know what's going on in Europe? Klal Yisrael's being destroyed, and you're talking about rebuilding? With nothing? From where? Who? With what? But the Ponovitcher Rav was a dreamer. And proud of it. And when he made the Cornerstone Foundation, they had a ceremony that was a very small ceremony where they started the building of the Ponovitch Yeshiva. And the Chazon Ish also attended that ceremony. And it wasn't a fancy ceremony. In fact, it consisted of the Ponovitch Rav speaking and then taking some earth and throwing it into this place that was the building site whilst crying, because he knew what was going on in Europe and the efforts that would take to rebuild. And the Chazon Ish used to said about this event, he said, you know what, you go to these occasions when there's a lachaim and whatever it might be, I don't know, no, will it be matzliach, will it not be matzliach? But Chazal tell us, Hazeinim bedima, barina yuktayu. If you sow with tears, then you'll reap with joy. And if the Ponovitcher Rav is throwing this clod of earth about this building whilst crying, I know for sure it's going to be successful. And nobody else, everybody else said he was mad. You're a dreamer, you're crazy. But he was right, the Ponovitcher Rav. Not for nothing that he was also called Yosef. Not for nothing. Because that's what it means to be a Yid. To be a dreamer. If there's one message that we need for this generation, for our Dor, which is swamped, swamped by Mitzrayim, swamped by the Nisyonis of Yosef HaTzadik that he had to face, the only way to extricate somebody from this situation is not, it is of course helped to have passwords and everything else. Those things are all very, very important. But the real message is you're a godel. Ain't any godel babayis hazeh. You're 16, you're 17, but don't do this type of stuff. You're much greater than this. Do you know what Hashem has for you in store? Do you know what you could be? Ain't any godel babayis hazeh. Godless ha'odom. That is the approach to extricate oneself from Tumas Mitzrayim. And that's what we learn from Yosef. And it's not limited to age. It's perspective. Perspective of realizing that that's how a Jew walks through this world. Even though everyone thinks you're mad, you're a dreamer, you're crazy. Yes, but we're still speaking about Gadlus. Because that's where Yid lives. And that's the Gadlus of Yosef. He starts off as the Balach HaLomis that gets him into tremendous trouble. The brothers want to get rid of him. And the brothers say, here's an Esav, give him that battery with his HaLomis. He wants to rule over us, we're destroyed, we're finished. So they think they're doing the greatest thing in the world by getting rid of him. And Yosef, instead of walking away from it all, adaraba, he says, no, they might have rejected me, and I don't know why. And why is this happening? He didn't question. He didn't question the Ribbono Shel Olam, when he could have easily. But rather, he was still a Ben Yaakov. What would my father say? And not just, what would my father say now? Wonder what he's doing now. But what would my father say? He would say, how could you do this, Yosef? And that image then came to him in the window. That was Yosef Zuchus because of his Baruch Halomit. He used that Koyach HaDimyon to save him, to extricate him from Avera. And therefore we see this Koyach of Dimyon, this Koyach of being a Chaloma, being a dreamer, which is the theme of all these parashas, is what Klal Yisrael have in our genes. We have from Yosef HaTzadik the idea of being a Baruch Halomit. And therefore, when a child grows up, he grows up, usually, he's told, you ask a kid, what do you want to be? Oh, I want to be everything. I want to be an astronaut, and I want to be a fireman, everything altogether, and a goddle, and everything else, everything. And then what happens is, a kid becomes a teenager, and he tastes his first taste of failure. He thought, he's the bee's knees, I can achieve anything, I can do anything. Oh, but it's not so easy. I just tasted failure. And as soon as we taste failure, the natural reaction is, I was wrong. I can't be anything. Life's horrible. And as people go older, they just say, yeah, survival. That's the best we can do. Survival. You know, in England, if you ask somebody, how are you? Not bad. You'll never get, in America, it's like, awesome, amazing, whoa, yeah. Okay, here it's, not bad. That's the best we can do, not bad. Or, not dead yet. You know, that's the best we can do, you know. Not zero. I can maybe get from negative to zero. Because we've tasted failure. And as soon as you taste failure, you think, oh, I was wrong when I said I should think of great things. But no, actually the child was right. Perhaps different to the childish understanding of what he wants to be. But the child was right. You could be anything. And you have to have high aims. And when you taste failure, it's not because we then should say, we were wrong. No. Sheva yipol tzadik v'kom. It's time to get up again and say, no, I'm still going for greatness. And who teaches that the most? Yosef. Yosef, who's absolutely rejected. And still, in any God of Baba says, there's nobody greater than me. We should be zeichet to have that dream in all of us burn strong until we can see that final dream of Mashiach Tzidkenu Mehavir Amen.
Last week we explained the drish.